Bang. We had a great time yesterday at Jason's house without most of you. We had about 125 people show up, but we prepared for 400. And so we sent a lot of meat home with people. We had 2 hogs, 40 chickens, like 8 gallons of beans, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship together. So Nana, nana, boo, boo. You missed out if you wasn't there, and that's your fault. But we'll do it again sometime, and maybe you can show up then. Today's series is called Church. Great name, isn't it? Church, and the subtitle is, Are You In It, or Is It In You? And we want to look and talk about today. I just kind of want to share from my heart. Is that okay? And talk about what should the church look like? What should the church look like? We've had a couple hundred years of tradition in America, and we have done a good job of creating what I call scrambled eggs. And there's no clear description of what church should look like. And we have all kinds of traditions in America. In fact, throughout the world, of what church is all about. And I got to thinking about it. And I've got a scripture I'm going to share with you. But I want to share some thoughts as I was meditating on this. Some people think that church has to do, first of all, with the kind of government that it has. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised in a church where they sent us our pastors. We didn't have any choice on who our pastor was. In fact, there was we had a bishop. I was raised United Methodist. And we had a bishop, and every 3 or 4 years, if we liked it or not, we got a new pastor. Sometimes 5 years, 6 years, maybe 10 years, if you were lucky or unlucky, whatever. But you got a new pastor. And then there are churches that they elect their pastors. There are other churches that pastors are sent. And there are churches that have the dictatorship type of government. And there's all kinds of government. And people think, yeah, unless you have the right church government, then you're not a church. Can I just say that I know really, really good churches who have diversity in government. In fact, the New Testament doesn't really tell us what is the best kind of government in church. In fact, I really think the less that we think about church government and church politics, the better off we are. Amen. Don't you? I just do. Because we get caught up in, well, I don't like him. We're going to get us a petition up, and we're going to do this. And so we can get real messed up. But really, there are good churches that have every kind of government that you can imagine. And then I got to thinking about denomination. It's about the name. And if you don't have the right name, then you're not really a church. You're a pseudo church. You're a church wannabe. And, you know, there are people say, unless you are named by our name and are baptized in our tanks with our deal, then you're not really a church. But, you know, I know really good churches that are denominational churches. And I know good Baptist churches. I know good Methodist churches. I know good non-denominational churches. And I know bad Methodist churches and bad Baptist churches and bad non-denominational churches. So it's not about the denomination. We say that all the time. We're non-denominational here. In fact, we're all messed up here. This church is all messed up. We're all mixed up. We have Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, non-Pentecostals. We have Lutherans. We've got Church of Christ. We've got Catholics. We've got all kinds of people. We're just people. I'll start to say messed up. We're just people, aren't we? And so it's not about that's hard to say, you know that. It's not about the denomination, and it's not about the non-denomination. That's not what makes a picture of what the real church is really about. Then some people says it's the style of music. That's what it is. It's the style of music. You've got to be cutting edge. But you know, I know some great churches that don't do music like we do. I love our music here. I love the way that we worship. But I know some churches that do, and I know some good churches that don't do music like we do. They do the hymns, or they do bluegrass, or they do Southern gospel. You say, well, that couldn't be a God. I know one that's a good church that does, or that they used to do heavy metal. Oh, I know that couldn't be of God. But you know, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of music to sing, does it? It just tells us to sing about Jesus, to sing about Him. It's about Him. It's not about us. And you know, I've learned, and I've been in different kinds of churches over the years, and I have learned to appreciate different styles of music. And I've had people say to me, you know, I just can't worship to such and such style of music. Then I want to say this to you. You have made worship about you and not about God. As long as the words glorify God, I don't care if it's... Okay? I don't care if it's Southern gospel, bluegrass, contemporary, hymn, what it is. If it glorifies God, I should be able to worship. Because it's not about me. It's not about my preference. It's about God. And there are good churches everywhere that do different styles of music. Never say to another person who goes to a good church, oh, you do hymns. We're contemporary. I mean, we follow God at our church. Really? Okay. So it's not about the style of music. And here's something else. It's not about the size of the congregation. It's not about being big. Not all big churches are good churches. There are some wonderful small churches. There really are. It's not about the size. And just because you're big or small doesn't mean that you're not really a church. I know church, small churches and communities that are reaching their community, and they're doing the things that a church ought to do. They just live in a small community. So it's not about the size of the church. Here's another good one I was thinking about. I've heard people say, you know what? I would never go to a church unless they use King James only. Well, you know, my question for that is, what did the church do before it had the King James Bible? So it's not about the Bible version. It's not about endorsing a particular version of the Bible. We just need to endorse the Bible. We just need to study the Bible. So it's not about the version of the Bible. And here's another good one. Calvinism or Arminianism? All good churches are Calvinist. Well, I wasn't raised Calvinist. I was raised Arminian. And I'm not going to get into all of that debate. But we see good churches that are Calvinist churches. And we see good churches that are Arminian churches. So it's not about the creed that you follow. It's not about whose points and counterpoints that you embrace. That's not what makes a good church. They can be good churches or they could be bad churches. Then here's a big one. Catholic or Protestant. You know those Catholics. That's what we Protestants say, isn't it? You know, they worship Mary. Let me tell you something. I know some Catholics that are wonderful Christians. Now, I may not agree with everything that they teach, but I know some Catholics in some Catholic churches that are doing the work of the church. What about Mother Teresa? We shouldn't open our mouth till we outdo her. Yeah, you know them Catholics. And here we are, Protestants over here, self-obsessed and self-absorbed. And you know, the Catholics are over there, you know, feeding the hungry and taking care of the sick and the infirm and all of that. And we're saying that. But there are good Catholic churches. There are good Protestant churches. You know, the Catholics don't need to say, oh, those Protestant churches, it can't be a good church because it's not. See, we try to define church by certain parameters that the Bible doesn't do it with. And then there has to be the pastor. In some churches, he's not a real preacher unless he has a doctorate. He's got to have a degree behind his name. And then there are some churches that they don't want a doctor. They don't want anybody that's got any kind of degree. So we have that extreme. And by the way, I don't have a degree. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have a doctor's degree. I just didn't. I didn't get one. But, you know, I know some good churches that are led by men with degrees. I know some great churches that are led by men who have no degree, that God taught them, and that they've just endeavored to follow God. So it's not about the clergy. It's not about the clergy. Then there is the urban versus rural. And people say, well, you know, all of the good churches are the churches in the big city. They're the mega churches. They're the ones that can reach the most people. Listen, I know there are some good churches in rural communities that are on dirt roads that you have to drive 5 miles to get to. They're doing the work of the church. They're representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're life-giving. And if they're life-giving, then that's what it's all about. So it's not urban or rural. It's not large or small. It's not any of those things. But here's another one I thought about. The technology. What we need in the church is great technology. I am all for technology. I love technology. But you know what? Not every church that has technology, the lights and the smoke and all of the, you know, the stuff dancing around, that doesn't make a great church. And then people say, well, you know, unless you have some technology, you can't be a great church. I know some churches that don't use technology at all and are wonderful churches. In fact, some of those in other countries do not have the availability of technology like you and I have availability of the technology. And they are preaching the gospel and they're reaching people. And they are very, very much life-giving churches. Can you outshout the first service today? I had to do this in the first service. It's quiet. Doreen wasn't there for first service, so they were quiet. You don't have to have technology to be life-giving. Now, is some of that stuff important? Yes, it's a tool to be used to glorify God. But it's not one that has to be there to be real. And then we have the contemporary versus traditional. We could never just be traditional. There are some wonderful traditional churches in America. There are some wonderful traditional churches throughout the world. There are some wonderful contemporary churches throughout the world. It's not about contemporary or traditional. It's not about any of that. And I think there's a wonderful scripture. This is, if you don't ever learn any other scripture in the Bible, you ought to learn this. 2, John 3:16 in this one. And this is in the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 10. This is a very, very defining verse of scripture. That there's a lot of good theology in this scripture right here. This helps you understand so much about God, about who He is, who He's not, what He's about, and what His church should be about, and what it should not be about. And Jesus said this in John 10:10. He says, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." So who is the thief? Satan's the thief, okay? And what does he do? He does three things. He kills, he steals, and he destroys. Anything that steals, kills, and destroys is not about God. And it shouldn't be about the church. The church should not be something that is taking from. The church should be adding to. You know, in the real God stuff, adds value to. Okay? So Jesus says, I am come that they... Now, who is they? Who is they? Let me say it to... They is thee in King James, in case you like King James. They is thee. Thee is we, and we is I. Okay? Jesus, who did he come to give life to? Us. Take your finger, stick it right here. That's who he came to give life to. He says, I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Wow, life to overflowing. Now, I want to read this. He says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And if Jesus is about that, should not his church be about the same thing? We use the word here to describe our church, as many churches that we associate with do, call we are a life-giving church. It's a church based on giving life. As Jesus came to give life, we exist to give life. We ought to give life to our community. We ought to be, our services ought to be life-giving. Man, we had a good service here Wednesday night. Amen. It was tough stuff for me. Because we did communion, and I love communion. But the Lord instructed me, or gave me the verses to read before, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before the communion verses. And it talked about how we treat each other. And really, that's what it comes down to. You know, there's nothing worse than church strife. How can we say we're life-giving when we don't love each other? How can we say that we're life-giving when we hold grudges against each other? We're not life-giving. We're just going through the motions. So we read those verses of Scripture. The Holy Spirit was here in just a... You know, I call it thick. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You could sense the presence of God in here in the worship. And it was happening. And I sat on the stage and read those verses and commented. And people were weeping. People were weeping across the congregation as God was dealing. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was straightening some things out in some folks' life. I know some people didn't come and take. I made the statement, after I get through with this, we'll open it up and nobody will come because we'll all feel condemned. But that's not what it was all about. We got to understand that church is not a pretense. That church, and it does, you know, it's not about all of those things that we talked about. It's not about our government. It's not about our size. It's not about our, whether we're contemporary or traditional. It's not about technology. It's not about style of music. It's not about any of those things as much as it is about life. Life. Giving life. And we're not life-giving when we despise one another. How can we love the world when we can't love each other? You know, one of the things that the world looks at the church and says, and it, you know, looks at all of the different churches and the denominations and how they're taking shots at each other, and they're thinking, you know what? If that's religion, I don't want none. I understand that. And there ought to be better ways to settle differences than in public. There are better ways of, and we have to deal with controversy because we're defenders of truth. But we don't have to murder each other. You can disagree with somebody and still like them. Duh. Think about that. You don't have to agree with somebody. You don't have to hate them because you disagree with them. But anyway, the church needs to be life-giving, and that's what we need to be about. So I want to talk about three things, and these are the three things, if you're taking notes, write these down, because this is what I want you to get, that this is what the church should look like. And it's three very simple things, but I think it's pretty profound. The church is about loving God, loving people, and loving life. I think that's what the New Testament church ought to be like. Loving God, loving people, and loving life. I think that pictures life-giving. Life-giving. I want to talk about that just a little bit. Let's talk about loving God. Now, a lot of people say, you love God? Yeah, I love God. We're not talking about that. We need to find out what loving God really is. See, the greatest commandment in all the Bible is not the Ten Commandments. It's not the law. It's not about the sacrifices. Jesus said that there's two great commandments, and the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with your mouth. That's not what he said, was it? You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. See, it's easy to say words. Now, words are involved. I understand that. But loving God has to be the primary thing in our life. It's not loving anything else above what we love God. And it's easy to say, well, I'm a Christian. I love God. I put God first in my life. Let me tell you how that's going to show. It's going to show through your mouth. It's going to show through your actions. I can hang around a person 5 minutes and tell them what their passion is. If you were with me last night at 6 o'clock, you would know what my passion for 3 hours was. Woo pig suey. And we won. Praise God. But I'm not going to be happy till we beat LSU. Where's Cobra at? Oh, there he is. You know what? You talk about what you're passionate about, and you talk about it with passion. I'm passionate about my grandkids. I love to talk about my grandkids. Did I tell you about my new baby girl coming? Yeah. Whatever's in our heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I talk to young ladies sometimes, because I deal with a lot of young ladies more than I do young men. And I'll ask them, says, what are you looking for in a man? Oh, he needs to be good looking. He needs to have a job. He needs to have money. He needs to have a car. He needs to have all of this stuff, and he needs to love me. And I said, what about a Christian? Oh, yeah, and a Christian. You know what that tells me? That wasn't that important to them. Are they setting themselves up for some disappointment? Yep, think so. See, whatever you're passionate about is what comes out. It's what comes out. And it says loving God is putting God first and being passionate about God. And it's not just something that you just, okay, I'm going to be passionate about God. No, that's something that's a process. It's called setting some priorities in your life and staying with those priorities and feeding yourself towards those priorities. We've got some young kids in school right now. We got some in college that have a vision for their life, and they're studying and they're working towards their degree because there are things in life that they want to do and places that they want to go and things that they want to accomplish. They're being driven by a vision. And you know what? They're passionate about that. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to be passionate about God, loving God. One of the things that people ought to see when they see our lives. Now, I'm not talking about when you come to church. It's easy to love God when you're at church. I got news for you. You're not at church. You are the church. Okay? You are the church. The church is in you. You are the body of Christ. And how you live life is how you do church. You do it well or you don't do it well. But one of the keys of doing church right and being the church, number one, is to love God. After all, the church is about... Who's the church about? Oh, I thought it was about people. Who's it about? It's about God. Well, I thought we're about people. We are about people, but who are we about first? We're about God. What can the church do for me? Probably not a lot when you got that me attitude. If I can love God, and the second one is what? Love people. That's going to be the natural thing that flows out of that. Loving God, loving people. If you get these out of order, your life will be messed up. I know people who love life more than they love God. They love life more than they love people. Wrong priority. But when we love God and love people, I think that the natural outflow of that is that we're going to love life. So the second thing is loving people. This is kind of what we were dealing with Wednesday night. And I'm not aware of any ongoing strife that we have here. I mean, you always got problems in a church of this size. You always got things going on. And sometimes you just need to share things like that, you know, and remind us that we have the responsibility of loving God and then loving one another. And sometimes I'm hard to love. I start to say some of you are hard to love, but sometimes I'm hard to love. Sometimes we are hard to love, aren't we? Sometimes we run into people who are difficult to love. And they have the title brother and sister in Christ, but that doesn't make them any easier to love sometimes. But the Bible says loving people. How can we love the world when we can't love one another? We can't. We're not going to do that the way that we should if we don't love one another. And next week we're going to look at Ephesians 4. And that's what it talks about. How that we're divinely connected to one another. And what the job of ministry is and whose responsibility ministry is and all of those kind of things. But I think that we need to define what a life-giving church looks like. Loving God, loving people. And, I think that when we really, and we do this okay, we're not just wonderful at it. We have way too much of us and them, even in this congregation. We have too much of that. And it just needs to be us. Because we are family. Look at your neighbor and say, you're my family. I may not like you, but you're my family. You know, I love my wife, but I don't always like her. She loves me, but she don't always like me. But we get over it. That's the thing. We get over it. Sometimes you love your kids, but you don't like them. Sometimes you want to strangle a little blessing. But you get over it, don't you? Well, that's what family does. We don't divorce each other. We get over it. We deal with it. Okay. So loving God, loving people, loving life. Now, one thing I love about our celebrations here, and this is, we say we're going to church. Well, we're really going to the public assembly of the church. But one of the things that I love about our gathering together is that we love to do it. We enjoy our life together. And not only should we enjoy, because I think church meetings should be fun, don't you? I mean, you can go anywhere and get bored. There's a lot of things you can do and be bored. I love preaching and teaching, and I love picking at you, and I love making you laugh, and because I know I can get you tickled and I can gig you real good and get the point home. But you know, we have a lot of fun here, but we're very serious. We're very serious about our message, because it is the message that will change the heart. But not everything has to be serious. In fact, let me say this to you. Don't take yourself serious. Don't take yourself so serious. Everybody else laughs at you. You might as well laugh at yourself sometimes. Some people, everything is so serious and so solemn. Listen, love life. Enjoy life. Enjoy people. Enjoy church. Enjoy God. Our highest thing, listen, our highest thing in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him fully. And you know what? When we enjoy God and God enjoys us, it just ought to be a celebration every time we come together. And when we go out from here, the church leaves. And when you leave from here, guess what you're doing? You're doing church. You're being the church, because you are the church. The church is in you. And the way you live your life is your picture of the church. Uh-oh. That could be pointed, couldn't it? The way you do business is a picture of the church. The way you treat people is a picture of the church. See, we need to see it that way. We have divorced our secular life from our spiritual life. And let me tell you, life is all spiritual. The way I treat you is a reflection of my spirituality. The way I treat God is a reflection of my relationship with Him. The way that I treat my fellow man is a reflection of my relationship with God. Because see, here's the level: loving God, loving people, loving life. So it gets quiet when the Holy Spirit says something. And if we don't do that well, what do we need to do? We need to make some adjustments in our lives, don't we? We need to make some adjustments in our life. It's not like God up there mad at me all this. He says, no. Fall in love with God. You can fall in love with people. You can love life. You can see every day as a challenge. You can see every day is an opportunity to minister. Everywhere you are is an opportunity to be the church. My buddy Nick Fudge and I were at McDonald's this morning, my other church. And we were, he asked, "What you preaching today?" He's the one that comes and sings for us sometimes. And he says, "What you preaching today?" And I was telling him about it. And I says, "You know what? We're just as much the church sitting here with each other as we are when we're sitting in the building." And sometimes we forget that we're always the church. Nurses, you are the church when you're ministering to your patients. Salesmen, you are the church when you're making sales. People, when we're interacting with other people, we are the church. It's not when we're here. Spouse, the way that you treat your spouse, you're being the church. How you raise your children, you're being the church. Sometimes we need to represent better. I better quit, hadn't I? Prayer team, I'm going to ask you to come on up. I didn't say any of this stuff today to be mean. I seem like I'm always apologizing for speaking the truth. Forgive me. If the shoe fits, wear it. Do something about it. I'm not judging you. It's not my job to judge you. It's your job to to judge you. It's my job to tell the truth. And if I told the truth, you probably know it in your heart by now. And if God is dealing with you about something that you need to change in your life, then now is the time that maybe you can do that. We have prayer time for several reasons. Number one, there's always people here who need to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Every one of these people here today know how to pray with you to do that. Maybe you have been estranged from God and need to come back to God. They can pray with you about that. Maybe the Spirit of God has spoken to you something in this message today where you just need somebody to pray with you about that. And they can agree with you that you can straighten some things out that you need to straighten out today. Whatever it is, maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need healing in your soul. Maybe you just need somebody to hug you and pray for you. We just open this up to you now. As we pray, you just respond and feel free to come. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that we can be in a life-giving atmosphere. Lord, that we know that you're not here today to condemn us for anything. You're here today to draw us closer to you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking into people's lives today. And I thank you for the work that you're even now beginning to do in people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?